I'm Amy.
I'm Delia.
And I'm Wendell. And welcome to
Yes
But
Why
Podcast. Yeah.
Hello, Patrick.
Hello.
Welcome.
Are we rolling already?
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah,
or
we're
for
rolling
the first time?
Oh, cool, great.
Are we going
great.
To acknowledge our club?
I'll go ahead and you know, not start until hello, but
so this
what the
is
hell
the
is happening right
this
now?
This is the Pokemon map.
Really
oh, yeah.
Look
not,
at it.
Please no Pokemon Go while we're recording.
How are we not going to talk about it? Like, it's not, like, the biggest thing happening. All right,
but we don't
week,
have though. To look at whatever that is that on
is,
your
this
phone.
This is where all the Pokemon are.
It actually all right, is
so it's a
Twitter.
Humongous thing. Yeah. Like, it's a humongous
thing. It's
they
changed
more
the way society.
Users in Twitter the other day, which is a huge, huge deal.
Especially in a week.
Yeah.
Like, it's changing the way society functions right now. Like,
think of all of the data they've gotten too.
That is exactly what I was thinking.
It actually doesn't.
The,
up that
there
much.
Was an article that came up. No, it's not about that
no,
data.
No. Yeah.
It's about the fact that like satellites can't figure out what your house looks like. But thank you so much for showing us every room in your house by looking around your house with your thing, with your Pokemon Go. Yes, yes. We'll give you something to look at. Show us that basement. Oh, thank you. The corner of your basement has a washer and dryer in it, so we won't hit that corner. We'll hit this corner.
How many people are like using the ATM while still using augmented reality? Let me just type in that pin real quick. Great. Perfect.
Several people have been robbed, have been using Pokemon Go to rob people, to
mm-hmm.
like draw them to secluded areas by like
mm-hmm.
posting up like the beacon to make all the Pokemon show up, and
that's,
people will just
yep.
walk out.
Terrible.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Don't go to, I don't care if it's Pokemon Go or regular life, don't go to dark alleys,
right.
y'all.
Yeah, no, it's a...
Don't do it. People want to hurt.
It's like in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, when the woman always goes down a dark alley, and you think, oh God, why?
In the first 5 minutes, did you do that?
Like, yeah, nothing creepy about this, just a bunch of dumb, like, have you not seen any movies?
Well, it was weird how in Buffy, the rest of the town never really caught on to the vampire problem that
yeah, like,
she was constantly
the
dealing
with. The intense denial that, like, every person in that town, they're like, I don't see it. What are you talking about?
I'm pretty sure it's just lead in the water.
Man,
that's
Buffy.
That,
oh,
that she's weird. Why is she so weird? Why is she always covered in blood?
But,
like,
I don't get it.
Dead and the not dead and the dead. And the spoilers.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. What's this new sister she just has all of a sudden? What is that?
They explain it.
Oh, I know. I watched the whole series, but,
yeah.
I mean, everybody else needed to be like,
aww.
What the fuck's going on
and
with this
one? That's why Wendell is doing a podcast with me, because he's seen every episode of Buffy.
It's so good.
It
the
is.
First,
it's really
the
good.
First three seasons
yeah.
are great.
The
yeah.
college
is
one,
weird.
Though.
I got through it.
It fought on past when it should have, I think.
Yeah, I hate 4. Actually, you know what? No, I'm sorry. I hate 5.
5
4
is, not
is
good.
4 is the army guys. 5
oh,
is
yeah.
Glory and Dawn, and I'm done. I don't like Glory. I don't like Dawn.
They were just terrible.
Yeah.
They were utterly, utterly terrible. And
this
I
is now a Buffy podcast.
We talked about Pokemon Go.
No,
right?
no, I love it. Because, like, we all got real opinions on this. I'm the only one that gives a shit about Pokemon Go. We can talk for hours about Buffy.
I just felt that, like, after 3, there was a significant drop in, like, the quality of the show. Because I remember being so excited to start season 4. And the first episode, I was just, this is garbage. Turned it off. 3 years later is when I went back and finished it. Like, earlier this year is when I finished 4.
Was that
yeah.
the season where she'd gotten to college and the army's guys?
Yes.
I remember seeing, like, their underground lair and being like, oh, sweet, they have emergency blankets on everything. That's great. Like, the, you know, the silver emergency
yeah.
blankets? Like, it was
yeah.
literally a hole in the ground with emergency blankets taped
oh.
to the outside. Like, cool, that looks high-tech, I guess.
Look how shimmery everything is. This is
well,
your government.
I also,
makes sense.
I also like that Xander was, like, a military guy. I think their terms for one episode. But that knowledge lasts the entire series.
Yeah,
he was infused with it. Yeah.
Oh,
it happened.
I guess if you're...
She's like, magic vampire is cool.
Technically, what happened was at the end of the 4th season,
pretty
he was
skeptical.
Infused by the power of the Slayer in general, you know, like, because of the dream journey that had to happen. You know, the
That's
last episode?
Right.
Everything's resolved in the second to last episode,
okay.
and then the last episode is like a... I love those, by the way.
I'll
is it like crazy dream
off.
Journey where she meets the first Slayer who's, you know, like, in all of her makeup and whatnot, and it's beautiful.
don't remember any of this.
Oh my god, are you kidding me? I can tell you everything.
I think past a certain point, I'm just like watching this stuff. Like, next.
Yeah.
Next. See, though, the problem is that I have, I only watch season 6 now. I just watched season 6 over and over and over and over and over. And I don't know, maybe it's just where I am, because like when I watch the earlier things, I'm always like, oh, she's a baby. I get it. Look, there's a baby. She's in love with another baby. Whatever. Like, it's hard, especially too, because like in the first two seasons when they're like getting their comedy legs, like it's very, there's a lot of like, check out this joke. And like, I love a Whedon joke, but at the same time, I get a little tired of it, and I want it to be a little bit more angsty, and 6 is just loaded with angst. And I also love Jonathan and everything that he does.
Did you guys watch Angel, too? I never really made the jump to Angel.
I watched all of the Angel.
Coming home with my roommates in college and watching it. Because we didn't have DVR.
I watched it for a while because
I'm old.
DVR wasn't a thing when I was in college. Yeah. We all had to watch ER and then on Thursdays and then go out for drinks. I remember it every week.
That or Chicago Hope.
I actually didn't watch, even though I'm the biggest Buffy fan in the world, I didn't watch it until after it was done. It like, because it all happened while I was in college and in the like immediately post-college years. So I was kind of doing stuff. And then I found it via Netflix. Netflix when it was DVD.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
When I first lived in New York, I got Netflix because I lived alone in a like weird apartment, and all I could do was watch DVDs. So I got Netflix, and it was like, it was like 2002 or something.
Does it still offer that service?
Yeah, they do.
I actually do it in October because that's how I can get a whole bunch of horror movies that they don't stream.
Okay.
So I just get it for the September October time period. Like crazy.
Isn't it great that you can change for like 2 months and then go back?
I used to do the Blockbuster, like they had the All You Could Watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I lived two blocks down, and I was at the time doing contract work, so it was just like, cool, I'm gonna grab three movies, watch all of those in the same day, and the next day I just went through the catalog of Blockbuster near me.
Did the films ever bleed into each other for you? Like,
a lot
did you
of things
ever see
bled
it?
Into it.
Just like, oh yeah, you know that one movie with the werewolf and then the vampire and then like the lake monster.
I can't. Most movies, when I try to think about like watching them, I'm like, that was the third Jason movie.
I have a hard time holding on to specifics too.
And I was also doing like, I for some reason my schedule shifts to night if I don't have like any reason to get up. And so I was working. It was like, I didn't see the sun at all. And the only person I ever saw was like the Blockbuster person and maybe the person at Walmart if I wasn't using a self-checkout. You know?
So you having an office is a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, having like a schedule I have to keep to.
Like the beginning of a Chuck Palahniuk book or something. Just the Blockbuster guy.
He knew me by name.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like, I can't remember
he, like,
her name
had a
now,
section
but, like,
called, like, Patrick's Favorites.
This lady, like, I came in so often, then we just had conversation all the time. We'd pick back up, and then it was just like, oh, we should hang out after this. I ride a motorcycle, too. We can ride motorcycles on the weekend and stuff. Like, just becoming friends with, and then I got, like, the wrong vibe from her, so I started going to another Blockbuster store, because I don't know.
What's the wrong vibe?
Yeah,
oh,
just, like, elaborate.
I was 20 at the time. She's probably, like, 40.
Okay.
And
I was ready for things.
What?
That's the vibe I got. I don't know if it was.
If you were Wendell, you would have just fucked her.
Oh, God.
That's not me, though. Like, I can't do that.
Oh, I love, like, put your hand out. Like, whoa, that's not me. Don't ever say.
I would love to be able to live a lifestyle like that. I have no necessarily.
That is exactly what I would have done. Amy.
Yeah, like. I mean, now me in college, I was religious, so that would have been a different story, too.
Wait, you were religious?
Oh, very much so.
Really?
Yeah.
How?
Tell us about your religious past.
I've kind of jumped around. I was baptized Baptist, which is, like, the only saving grace for my parents, as far as, like, them thinking about me and the afterlife, is because the Baptists believe once saved, always saved. So no matter what I do to them, I'm saved. So, like, no matter how much I, like, say there isn't a God or anything, then, you know, and, but
they're
so we grew
like,
up,
we
like,
took care of this.
Yes. So, because they always, I mean.
Damn your free thoughts.
I get it. If you have if you believe with, like, your entire existence that there is a God and you have to do what that person says, or you go to the worst place ever, then I understand, like, fearing for your kid you know, and
sure.
I would bring that up probably every time I saw my kid.
Yeah.
But, so that was kind of like just my last, like, all right, here's the last argument we're going to have about religion, all right? Like, I'm saved. You don't have to worry about that. So it's done. Like, I mean, I may get the room next to the ice machine in heaven, but I'm going to be in heaven, so it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys can relax.
I'm going to have to hang out in the parking lot
for
a while. There's like the, you know, there's the speed pass that you get to get at the front if you like really said a lot of nice things, but then if you were kind of like bullshitting about it.
Yeah. You're waiting in the toll line a real, real long time.
You're going to sit in Orlando for a while.
Hell's the worst. This isn't that bad still. That's fine.
I've heard purgatory, you at least get to like walk around and they call your number. You got to stand in line here.
Actually, part of hell is working the tolls there. Everyone's like, I'm so excited to go to heaven. Yeah, I'll never see it.
Nobody brings exact change on their way into heaven either. So you're just sitting there trying to get the toll and they're like, God, nobody even has shekels anymore. What is this? I don't know.
There's like a big sign up that like indicates what the like exchange rate for everything is. Like, it's like, what is this, a shekel? shekels is 5 cents.
Logically, yeah.
Yeah, no, like,
but then it just goes around in circles. Like, 5 cents is like 100 meckles, and you're like, what's a meckle? And then it's just a bunch of bullshit.
There are people just
and they're
now
like,
getting...
I don't know what to tell you. I'm so sorry. And they're figuring it out.
Let me call my manager.
That would be the worst if, like, the entrance to heaven is just run so terribly that no one's actually gotten in yet.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's still people.
There's technically really great stuff going on.
For you, I swear. It is just being cleaned.
You have
Literally
infinite.
Would you like a bucket of peanuts? I don't know, you could say, like, there's just one of those guys with a counter, just like, hey, I don't know, sorry, but hey, you know, the fire marshal's gonna come by, and then it's my ass, what do you want me to do? You know, like,
actually, that makes a lot of sense. So right in that area where you can't get in, there's a place called Purgatory Pub, and that's where you just hang out.
You just go in there?
You just go in there, and he's like, you gave up, did you? All right, let me get you a cold one.
Waiting for the buzzer to go off.
Like a Red Lobster.
Non-alcoholic beer. And stale pretzels.
Definitely non-alcoholic beer. And unsalted pretzels.
Yes.
Unsalted pretzels.
Season 4 of Buffy is just playing on...
Nah!
It's like, yeah, you don't want to watch it, but you're gonna.
Season 5. Oh. And it's the one episode on repeat, just like where Dawn comes in, Anna Glory, and it's just horrible.
Yeah, I'm gonna go home and watch that episode.
Yeah.
Which episode are we talking about? I would say if you were to like really get deeply into the angst of how annoyed you are that Dawn's there, just go for the first one. Because they address it immediately. The first episode is like what am I doing here? Who am I? And very directly indicates, you know, that the audience is gonna be like, what the fuck?
Right.
Yeah. What is going on right now?
Who is this? Yeah.
Not that they explain it, but they at least bring up like, we get it. We know she's weird. You didn't expect her. When I first watched the first ever episode I watched of Buffy was the musical episode, and I almost never watched another episode.
I was just going to bring that one up. I was like, that would be a good one to have on loop in Purgatory Pub.
Yeah,
so
I
didn't like that
did
one.
Not like it wow. at first, and I was like, what kind of bull is this? And then I was... won somehow by the rest of that season, which when I watch it now, I'm like, why? How was this episode the one I was like, yep, I'm into it? But I think also I was kind of a Spike kind of gal. So
yeah,
I was just like, oh, yeah. I'm into this. What is this? I'll do it. And then I watched the beginning and I was all like, what's up with this whiny tall guy? What's he whining about? Maybe you should stop whining and lift something. Jesus.
One of my favorite roles of his is House on Haunted Hill. He plays a cameraman for a 2-minute scene. Yeah, great in it, by the way.
Billy Masters?
David Boreanaz?
No, James Marsters.
I don't know who any of these people are.
Spike or
something Masters.
Spike. I think it's Billy Masters.
Spikes, yeah.
No, it's James Marsters.
Hey!
Marsters! There it is!
I would be the worst name dropper if I ever got famous. I don't know.
I saw him in Dragon
Me
Con.
Neither.
He is...
I'm looking forward to like being in a movie with someone who's hugely famous and I have no idea who they are. And then everyone is just like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what was that? Bobby De Niro? Great to meet you. I don't know. You seem really nice. Thank you for letting me be in this movie with you.
That's cool. Can I have some of your pizza? Thanks.
Seriously, nobody else is eating, but you have a whole pizza in front of you. I mean, like, share, am I right? Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm talking
Thanks
to you.
Thanks to everyone.
Of course I'm talking to you. You, what are you talking about? Yeah. You're right here. Of course I'm talking to you. Nobody else is around. What the fuck are you doing?
Oh.
Do you think he does that bit to people?
Yeah, it's just like, if you're not getting it. Like,
are you doing a bit? I get it. I did improv. I get it. I get it.
Oh, yeah. Al Pacino.
Yes, and
Al Pacino.
I am talking to you. I get it.
You're doing Al Pacino in Heat. That's what that is.
If he's not smacking gum, it's not Al Pacino in Heat. Which, by the way, is one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah?
Yeah, Heat is an amazing movie.
Really?
Absolutely. Lure Patrick into tunnel with promise of heat.
I feel like, gross.
I was going to say that.
Reword that.
Yeah, I feel like,
let's come back to it later.
Hey, you want some heat?
Let's just leave it there.
I feel like the Blockbuster story led us away from that sentence for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when the heat came towards him, he skedaddled.
That's right. That old 40-year-old Blockbuster attendant just fanning herself with a copy of Heat. She's in a pair of black socks, just smiling when you come in.
Except for the worst part is she's fanning her vagina.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it is, yeah.
She's still got the shirt on, but the vagina's out.
And she's fanning it.
Is that the
it?
Worst part? I mean, at least it's going to be dry, you know? Not like...
What's it gonna be?
You don't know. You don't know.
What if she, like... Oh, never mind.
Oh.
Huh?
Oh.
No, I was just imagining, like, she just, like, left a copy, like, right on the...
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
That way you'd have to, like, oh, this is cool. What? No! But the kicker.
She's still, like, sitting the on the aisle. Yeah. Yeah, she's still, like, in the aisle, just kind of sitting there, like, kind of stuck to it, you know? Like...
Was it Burt Reynolds that had the picture of him laying on the rug?
Yeah,
it's like that, but instead she has like Blockbuster videos on her. She's all like, hello, Patrick.
It's just you and me here.
No one actually ever comes to this store except for you.
We closed down 3 years ago. I've been paying to keep the lights on, waiting for you.
I own all these videos. You can
I mean, I would appreciate her attention. It's the commitment thing.
Okay, so, I mean, just to go back to that real quick. So she was just laying it on real heavy. She was putting on a real, like, let's get it on in the closet vibe. And you were just like,
yeah, and I was just, I'm not that. But it was just like, I don't know. I'm really bad with, like, turning down people.
Okay.
Because like, you're a nice person and I like you, but I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
So the easiest thing was just to never go back to that Blockbuster.
Absolutely.
Patrick invented ghosting.
Ghosting, yeah. Before there was even like texting ghosting. Involved.
He, at a Blockbuster, he invented ghosting. Because, I mean, at that point, nothing exists.
We all kind of invented ghosting at Blockbuster, though. We were all like,
R.I.P. Blockbuster, yeah.
All right,
my
well,
Xbox does
I was going to say, well, what about like people, like men during times of war, right? Like...
when they're writing people and then died?
Well, no, I was like, you mean the people that died? I don't think that's what ghosting means.
Well, no. I just meant like some men just like, oh, Marianne, yes, let's make love. And then tomorrow I'm going off to war. And then they just never come back. But it's actually not
even. Did you put a title card up with your hands? War is a title.
Well, you know, just like insert whatever war, Spanish Civil.
Spanish Civil. Hey, I'm going up to this hill to go kill some more.
Yeah. You know the ones.
I mean, I feel like I'm sure there was a lot of. I feel like fidelity not really like a big thing during like war torn anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like because if the chance is that it's like, hey, we might never see each other again. Let's just do it right now. Maybe we'll see each other later. And then if you never do, you're like, hey, well at least we did it. Or if you see each other again and it turns out you're married to other people, you're all like, but we did it that one time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, is it like a you're passing each other in the streets and do like a little tiny high five as you walk by?
Yeah, I mean, I would say in the 1700s that's what they did. That was like
lifted the skirt and you saw like a flash of knee. Just...
Knee, that was.
I mean, I meant to say ankle. I meant to say ankle.
No, yeah, Jesus.
Whoa.
I meant to say ankle.
I wanted to say like shoelace, perhaps. Right, it's so honey, funny how like home. That was a thing, and now it's like if you saw like 100 naked people, you'd just be like, meh.
Yep,
that just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, like there's nothing. I mean, like I don't know. You know how they say, you know, I like it cold because I can put more clothes on, but I don't like it hot because I can't take as many clothes off. Once I reach the end, that's it.
Yep.
I feel that way kind of about like the sexualization of the world. Like it's like we're talking about showing an ankle and that was crazy. And now it's like I could see you all totally naked and I'd be like, yeah, all right.
That happens.
No offense to all of you.
It's called having an addiction to porn, I do believe, is
I mean,
I don't know. If
addiction's
I
a hard word,
that.
Though. I mean, like a strong just, familiarity.
But like, it's not like you. I don't seek it out, and it's there.
I don't. It just comes to my phone now.
Well, you know, they know my favorites. What?
Well, whenever let's say you get on like a BuzzFeed ish. But there's all that shit at the bottom.
Oh, the ads at the bottom, yeah.
Yeah, and they're all very seductive.
It's a lot of side boob.
Yeah. And
that's true. Anytime you do anything mildly illicit on the internet, there's an advertisement for getting a Russian bride.
Yeah.
So
you don't even have to do anything. It does find you.
It's true.
My parents...
I don't even need the internet to have sex find me, though. Come on, guys. I hang out with nothing but attractive people at a goddamn theater.
That's true.
It's very difficult. Anyway, tell me about your life, because I'm deeply concerned about you and interested in you, Patrick.
I was going to say how porn can come to you. So my parents live in a small town, they have a small internet service provider who screws up frequently, it seems. And so they got a used router sent to them that had gotten infected with it's a DNS virus. So all of their Google ads were being routed to a Russian server that would then serve them pornography instead of like your normal Google ads. Because it basically all the router virus did was when it tries to go look for a site for Google, it would say, just kidding, it's this Russian one now. So like when I came home to visit my parents, like... it got on my phone, right?
And then
my mom was extremely upset, like pissed off at the telecom company, like yelling at them about them, like forcing her to look at like naked people doing things. And I was just like, what? Good God.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Feel like they specifically find people over like 40 because they're like, they don't get it. They're not going to know how to fix it. Like me, I'd be like, okay, well, let me figure out how to get
through this. They're
going to
think that's just what the internet is. Right. They're just going to go, oh, yeah, I knew it.
Right. This all sport.
Back on.
And this Russian like group was apparently connected to some sort of mob, and they were getting like ad revenue from it. So the FBI and some other, I think, and another foreign agency. Or a foreign agency.
Like human trafficking? Like is that like...
I gotta be so
No,
great.
Just like...
Okay.
Is since... the FBI come into your parents' house?
Oh God, that would have been terrible.
Come on.
She's just breaking through all the windows out. Like an X-Men 2.
Yeah. Do they do that in real life? Because like I'm very...
Through windows?
No, meaning like do they like smash up your house and then leave and then you're like, fuck you, clean it yourself, fix your own windows.
If they find something to charge you with, I think so.
But then I guess that house gets foreclosed on and it gets flipped, so who cares?
If they're not renters, yeah.
And then it's just somebody else's problem. Right?
They're normally renters.
Anybody
getting busted?
Oh my God, you're so right. It's so sad. We're trying to find a rental house right now, and everywhere we go, I'm like, can we move to a neighborhood where it mostly says for sale? And he's like, why? And I go, because I don't want renters around me. And he's like, but we're renters. And I go, we're old renters.
Right, yeah. You know that, yeah.
We're artist renters.
I feel like a lot.
I have an excuse.
A lot of my neighborhood are renters now, and they weren't when I first got there, but... Something happened, I don't know, a couple of years ago where one of the renters smelled like a gas leak. So they called the gas company and the gas company shows up and somehow lit the building on fire. So it like
the gas company lit it?
So the last
two gas where is it? Where is
I'm
it?
I'm saying apparently this was told to me as to not be sued by anybody.
You didn't say the name of any company.
No, that's true. But it's like two houses down, so like coming home and they've blocked off, none of us have gas. But the house was like a burnt out shell for like 6 months as well. So that was fun because about, I don't know, it's probably longer than 6 months actually. But like a month after that, I didn't mow my grass one weekend, so I got a letter about not mowing my grass. I went on I literally walked around my neighborhood and recorded everything that was wrong with my neighborhood and sent it to them, and nothing has been fixed on that list for like, it's been over 2 years.
But they stopped hassling you about the grass.
No, every year they send me something. Like, they'll send me like, oh, your fence is damaged. Like, that's not my fence, that's my neighbor's fence, it's on the property, go talk to them. And they're like, well, when it comes to fences on property lines, I'm like, I hate every part of this HOA. And they're not even bad, but it's just like they always send me something, and then my anxiety disorder kicks in, and then I, you know.
You're like, shh, don't speak to me, go away.
It's just like.
We need to get you like an Annie Potts secretary who like just answers the phone.
Yeah.
Hello, Patrick's house. No, we can't talk to you right now. Well, he will. He's working on the lawn next. All right, sir. There's a burnt out house next to us. Exactly. How about you deal with that first?
You guys fix that.
All right. Well, goodbye.
So my, Fourth of July just happened, and our neighbors constantly pop fireworks during like Fourth of July.
I saw your Facebook status. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but I saw multiple Facebook
like,
statuses.
The HOA's decision was, hey, let's put up $300 signs at the entrance because that's clearly going to stop it. It's just they're the worst. Yeah, I don't know.
Would it cost $300 for the signs?
Yeah. So like. Any reflective like text-based sign is minimum $100, and then they have somebody like put in a cement pole and everything. So she's like, "Cool, I'm glad we spent all that money on that. Made it better."
And the cops, you said the cops were just kind of like,
"Oh yeah," because I'm in, like, not effectual. I'm in the country, it's county, so the sheriff's just like, "There is no ordinance." So
yeah. It's outside the city limits.
And I'm totally an old man. Like last night at like 11:40, my neighbors were out in their yard drinking beer, listening to music. And I just sat there and stewed in my own like seat for 10 minutes and then finally got up and went outside and went to go like tell them off. And I was like, "Hey guys, can you turn down the music?" And the guy's like immediately, it's like, "I'm sorry, sir, what?" And I was like, "Ah, son of a," like respect right away. So it was just de-escalated. I was like, "Sorry, could you turn down the music?" And he's like, "Yeah, sorry about that." And, like, instantly turned it down. So I'm like, just that asshole going out there with an attitude and everything. And he was immediately just like apologetic, and so I'm just like storming back into my house like yelling thank you over my shoulder in an angry way. Thank you. Shut my door.
That's happened to me in my own apartment before. It was with an old roommate, and it was like 2:00 in the morning, and I had to be at work.
Mm-hmm.
And she came home with like a bunch of friends and blaring music. And I mean, it was the same process of just like waiting in bed, like maybe she'll drop dead soon. And then just like having to put like pants on and go out.
That's exactly what happened.
And then I like just pulled it open. I was like, "Can you turn the music down, please?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, sorry about that." I was like, "God damn it! I just wanted to hate you, right. Just completely, can't, just hate
been
you."
A dick
just,
about it.
Yeah.
Can I tell a story of this similar where I am also an asshole? So I lived in New York City in an apartment, and we had just moved there. It was maybe like a month. Or a couple days in or something, and I'm laying on my bed and it's 4 a.m. and all of a sudden I hear outside my window what sounds like a band playing. I'm like, "What the hell is happening right now?" And it sounds far away, but it feels like it's getting closer, and I don't know what's going on, and I don't understand. And after a while, it's like boom, 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 and I can hear, and I'm like, "What the fuck kind of bullshit is this? It's friggin' the middle of the week. This is not okay. I don't know why this is going on. What's happening right now?" Right? So finally, I'm laying in bed, you know, like stewing, like we're saying, stewing in my own juices. Like, "What the fuck?" Finally, I get up. I like open the window and I like lean out as if I'm gonna yell at New York City for being New York City, right? And it turns out that on my street, the street that I lived on was Broadway, and it was a 9/11 parade going from 150th above me. I lived at 143rd and walking all the way down to the towers doing a parade. So I am a huge asshole.
Are you though?
For getting mad that they started a parade. I mean, like, you know, but I am. Because, yeah, they started a parade at 4 a.m. so that they could eventually finish it at 8:45 or whatever a.m. down, like, miles that they're going to walk. Which is like, really, what kind of, who in that parade was like, "Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, great idea.
I'll take that. I'll take that 9-mile walk. No problem." Like, with your, but whatever. It was for a good cause.
Was that like the only time they could like get the street?
You're probably right. No, I think they also, they like wanted to arrive at the location like at the time of the first plane hit, which I think is really horrifying. Why remember that part? Couldn't we have like done it on the birthday of the nicest guy that died or something? You know what I mean? Like instead of continuously remembering the horrible thing, like it's like, and guys, of all the people that died in that, this one guy gave billions of dollars to charity. Pretty much the nicest man in the whole wide world. His birthday is in January. Let's celebrate them then. Yay! You know, but we don't do that.
That's not how we do that. Yeah.
No.
Well, I mean,
I was really hoping that she was going to say, like, the noise is coming from a one-man band that was drunk trying to, like, find his apartment or something.
I wish it was.
That's much more New York to me.
And just not giving up on the act.
Yeah. Other neighborhoods,
well,
maybe.
Well, when you walk, they automatically.
So it's like he's trying to find his keys and just, like, getting get a tambourine. In the door, yeah.
I got my haircut once from a guy who had, like, a sound machine on his body as he did the haircut. So, like, as he cut your hair, it'd be like, bish, bish, bish,
bish, bish, bish. What the fuck?
Yeah. It was great.
Was it great the whole time, or was it?
It was an art piece, and when you were the person getting your haircut, he put tape over your eyes, so it was a full immersion.
What?
Like, so you're there, and he puts a piece of tape over your eyes, and then he starts doing the hair, so all you can hear is the noise around you, and everybody else is watching the, like, performance of it, but you're...
Start getting worried when you hear a certain tone over and over again. Yeah. I'm hearing a lot of dings, not a lot of whoosh. Can we get some more whooshes in here, buddy?
I've asked for a number of whooshes. Yeah.
A lot of sound on this side. Yeah. Nothing over here. What's happening?
So, as you're watching it, do you get accustomed to the sound so you know what a whoosh is?
No, no. Only Patrick would know what a whoosh is.
It was really, he didn't have anything hooked up. There was some kid in the back that just kept playing different sounds as he moved. They couldn't figure out the tech. But it was still good.
An old guy just comes out and literally just cuts your hair like a normal person. He's just sitting there like, bing, bing, bop, boop, boop, bop.
And it's all like a big joke that, like, nobody tells you.
And you're sitting there, like, with your eyes closed, like, hey!
Fun! Yeah, and it's just like an angry old man who's just, like, shaving your head.
You just got a yak back beside your ear, like, bah,
bah, bah, twist it, bop it.
Just playing Simon beside your head, not even like, oh.
Oh, God. Oh, man. See, Gilmore's Girls reference there? Mm-mm, okay. Mm-mm. Never watched it, actually.
No, no.
That's another super great show that's coming back.
Yeah, that's right. I'm so excited. I can't believe that. That's crazy.
I know.
It's okay.
Are they both like 40 now?
No.
Alexis They've Bledel aged looks very 13. Well.
The one, the
yeah,
ladies,
and also right? the one who played the mom, she's been in stuff continuously, so she's still.
So it was about a mom and a daughter, well-groomed. Like a single mom and her daughter.
Yeah.
Why did I think they were sisters?
They're only
they
like
look
16
exactly
years
alike.
Apart.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have the same name.
Only like 6 years apart,
they're
like in real life.
Years oh, apart. In real life, I don't think they were too far.
Yeah.
They're
okay.
Maybe like 10, maybe. I don't know.
Sometimes I make when I make friends with people, though, I think I could have had you as a child. That's what when I meet people sometimes these days.
Could have
I'll be
had
like,
you.
You would have been my kid. You are my kid age.
Yeah.
Like adult
I don't
people.
Think about that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was like I'm not even bad choice. Two young babies, like regular adults.
Like if you'd only hooked up with that lady at Blockbuster, you would have that kid by now.
Shit, yeah, yeah. No, it's like...
I don't know. I mean, maybe it would have worked out for you, but maybe it wouldn't have.
Double your age is always a scary thing to even, like... Even if you have no religious values, double your age is still kind of a daunting thing. You know,
yeah, like, I mean, it wasn't... It's yeah, no. The religious thing was just, like... Sex outside of marriage.
Yeah,
was
yeah.
Huge, yeah.
That was just like, that was the one thing you kind of hold on to, but you were just like, you know, even if I.
Yeah, I got
thankfully, nobody pushed that too hard on me. I didn't do it. I didn't do it for years. I didn't have sex till I was 25, but I was still like, it was still my own thing. Like, my parents weren't like, don't do this. They're just like, hey, man, whatever happens, man.
Yeah.
My sister used to have sex in the house, like, with my parents home. And I'd be like,
who I can't believe this is happening. Right? Like, I'm
sorry.
Who's
playing the bass drum at the. Oh, it's.
I wasn't going to let. I wasn't going to let my mom or my parents get in the way. What are you talking about?
Before we started recording, we were talking about virtual reality.
Oh, yeah.
I thought perhaps we could discuss it since we've discussed Pokemon Go and Buffy. Absolutely. And
it
all the
is
things.
Virtual reality. It's augmented reality, Pokemon Go.
Have you done the HTC Vive yet?
Mm-mm.
Or Oculus? No, so like the Microsoft store here in town has a display set up.
Really?
There's
a Microsoft store in town.
Yeah,
I did not know
it's
that.
In the domain.
Okay. So of course yeah. It's in the fucking domain.
Go visit Nathan and then
So I just like stopped them there. On happenstance, and we tried it out, and blew my fucking mind.
Did it? Okay.
Like,
see, I was kind of hoping you were gonna be like, meh.
No, yeah, no. It's so I. So as a kid, I was into like the idea of VR and everything, and I was telling her that like the Super Nintendo had
the VR boy.
No, that's the Virtual Boy. Yeah.
Virtual Boy.
I have one of those still, which I got from Blockbuster. Oh,
I used to rent it. Like my family was poor, we rented it.
When they stopped,
is Virtual Boy?
It's
this big headset that you gotta
right, and it's all everything's red. It's like a Game Boy with a red display. I don't know why. I don't know if it used lasers and a mirror of some sort or but. Yeah, it was basically you play like 3D Tetris and like a game where a ball came at you. So it was just like depth to it, you know. Depth.
Yeah, so it would sit like here, and there was like the eyes, and you'd have to like keep your face connected to it on the table, and then like play Mario Tennis or whatever.
Yeah, and I loved it.
Yeah, it was amazing. Loved it. It was so good. Blinded me.
The lasers.
Blinded me terribly. Oh, I know it was bad for everybody's eyes. That's why it kind of like went down immediately. That's why you guys have never heard of it. Because it just like blinded a bunch of kids and then they were like, all right, sorry. Here's the Game Boy Pocket.
Pokemon Go.
Run with that.
Well, it's only been out for a short period of time. We'll see how many people it kills.
It's gonna happen.
Well, a girl found a dead body in Wyoming.
Under a bridge, I think.
Yeah. In a river. Swear to God. Yeah. She found a body
under a bridge.
In a river.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Wait, do you think she caught the Pokemon first and then called the cops?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she did.
Hey, why is the body moved? Well, there was a Pikachu under him and super rare.
Just had to kick it.
So I just moved
it. I got a stick and I just sort of rolled
it. I took a photo of him before so you knew like the position of his body, but I mean like let's be honest, he's been moved by the river.
No, literally there's just the Pikachu on top of his corpse. She takes the picture like, hey, sends that to the cops. I got the Pikachu. Don't you guys worry. Don't you worry. I caught it.
I was imagining the Pikachu making like a really cute like a pose, and then I remembered that a person did die.
Yeah.
So kind of sad.
Yeah, but not
hopefully
because
the
of the Pokemon.
Yeah, hopefully
like you don't change the fact.
This helped them solve. We'll get closer to solving a crime.
It's a positive
really
thing, not a negative.
Yeah.
But somebody still died.
Yeah, but the Pokemon didn't cause that.
Dude,
so.
No, I'm not saying the Pokemon caused it.
Yeah,
at
people
all.
Die. It happens.
No, I know that. I mean, I'm talking about making fun of like the dead person's body and like placing the Pokemon.
Dude,
that is like, somebody died.
They were in Wyoming. They were in Wyoming. If she hadn't had Pokemon Go, she never like
the body.
How many people are in Wyoming?
The body didn't get to play.
I know, but like if I were gonna kill somebody and get rid of the body, I'd take it to Wyoming. That's what I would do. I would take it to a place where nobody is. That man never got to play Pokemon.
How dare we use this site?
Oh, see, it would have been terrible if he fell off like a cliff playing Pokemon Go. Like if in his dead hand there was still like a cell phone running Pokemon Go when she found it, that would have been bad.
Only if he like had more points than she did, and then she like somehow figured out a way to like
take the account.
Puts his fingers up. I don't know. Just gotta.
Yeah, it was like. Is that how you play Pokemon Go?
No, he didn't have anything.
Like your phone, it's glass. You shouldn't do that.
No, it's like peeling the dead fingers off
something.
Oh, boy. His hand's in a grip. What's that about? I don't know. He didn't have a cell phone when I got here. I don't know. He definitely didn't have a Charizard.
Put something else in the hand to replace it.
I swear. He was holding the gun, officer. That's what happened.
But then a squirrel ran by and took the gun. And
you know those squirrels. Squirrel mob.
No, not a squirtle. Not a squirtle. I caught the squirtle. The squirrel got away. The stupid regular animal.
So I had a question for you.
Yes.
Because you build stuff and you figure out ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to ask you, do you see solutions to every problem? Do you see every problem? Yes. Just ignore me now.
Wait, what?
Do you think that every problem can be solved?
Oof.
Or do you immediately look at a problem and like just your brain goes into solving it?
Right. No, that's 100% it.
Yeah.
And that has gotten me into trouble in relationships.
Yep.
No, 100%. Like, if I see somebody struggling with something, I immediately want to try to help them, and it's not always a good thing, but it's just, which is one of the reasons that I like, I kind of program by day, and it's one of the things that I enjoyed about, like, independent filmmaking, was a lot of it, you show up somewhere, and then you have to just kind of figure out how to make it work on the lower budget stuff, and I really enjoy that, is trying to just figure out, as I'm wearing a hacking shirt, how to make things work with like what you have, and so Yeah.
Is that something, Delia, that you, like, is that something your brain doesn't do?
I mean, it, I don't know. I wouldn't say that there's an overall, like, I'm just trying to find a solution to things. I don't think my brain is predominated by that. I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, and I think that was the main question of the overall podcast. And then I remembered that we were going to be meeting with you again this week, and then the fact that you build things, and I just got really curious as to how your brain looked at those problems. So I
was going to say, because I like doing that. Like, I always, like, I love seeing something and then see, like, if there's an issue. And then, because normally I can immediately come up with a shitty way to fix something. And then I'll sit there and for a while think of, like, the more solid, rounded off way to, right. like, fix it.
The
so
polished,
it doesn't.
Yeah.
That being said, like, do you like untying knots? Because that's a thing. That's a thing that I'm obsessed with, and I feel like it all stems from that. Like, I see a really fucked up knot, I'm just like, get out of the way, fuck off, just, I got this. Like,
it's a trait of vampires, actually.
It is.
To undo knots.
Yeah, you leave knots outside of your door, and, like, at night, and a vampire that would have come in or tried to kill you would be preoccupied with the knots until the sun comes up.
There's another thing about counting.
Like a cat.
You leave, like, a certain amount of
vampires just have OCD.
Or something. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yes. God, look at
Amy's
that.
Looking at me like she's never heard these.
I've never heard the knot thing at all.
Really? Yeah, there's, I think they used to bury people with knots and stuff, too.
Yeah.
So that if they were to come back, they'd
I remember thinking that like that was a
I
thing.
I wonder.
Like, I remember being obsessed with knots and like acknowledging that, but I was also into vampires and werewolves when I was a kid, and I was like, man, I got some really big canines. Shit's not. I don't like outside. I don't know. Like all this, I was like, oh, fuck, am I a vampire? Like, not in a
maybe
fun
not
way.
Yet, but
yeah, someday. No. I mean, like. And I would have been so mad about it the whole time. I wouldn't have been one of those like weirdos like that reads a lot of Anne Rice novels and just like
I would be super upset if I got turned into a vampire. Now.
Really? Now?
Yes.
Right now?
Yeah, I'm 34.
Okay, so yeah,
I'm overweight and I'm balding. Like,
you stuck as that age.
No, it depends on the lore. You stay that age.
You stay the age.
You stay the age. You don't stay like your body type,
no,
right?
Like depending on the lore, like if you cut your hair, it just instantly grows back. Oh, that would be the worst.
Yeah, like Kirsten Dunst in
like imagine
Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
well, yeah, she was like seven forever.
Yeah.
Which is
that would be terrible
and creepy.
Yeah, that would suck. Oh, that would be the worst.
But you'd still be like perfect health and stuff. You'd still be like bulletproof and immortal. You'd just look like that. That's like,
I'd also be a vampire with extreme anxiety.
Well, then to a certain extent, has everyone seen Deadpool?
Yes.
All right, spoiler alert, Austrian listeners. The deal being that in every time I watch that movie, I think, like, what's the big deal? Like, so you're a little pockmarked. Go talk to the girl who fucking loves you.
Yeah.
Like, what is this problem? And I appreciate that. I guess there's a thing where, like, people are very concerned. Because I guess I'm concerned about what I look like.
Yeah.
But for another person, for people outside of myself, I'm always like, what are you talking about? You're great. And even in that case where I was like, she loves you. She doesn't care what your face looks like. Get in there, right?
None of my experiences in life have felt that way.
In the movie, it's an easy thing to look at. I think, like, in the comic books, like, he looks terrible. Like, the thing with Deadpool, and I'm just wasting my point. Like, none of this matters. I'm sorry. I almost started to explain why Deadpool does what he does. Like, I'm so stupid.
I mean, like, again, he's a bad dude. You just need to, like, he just likes doing some of that stuff. He doesn't have to. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, it's like angst in any movie. You know what I mean? Like, whenever I watch movies, I will sit there and you know, be yelling at the screen going, like, come on, just go talk to her, you know. But I guess that's the whole point.
Well, it's silly what he's scared of in the movie because it's all really superficial kind of relationship shit. And then he goes and, like, lets his body parts get cut off and fights in a, you know, fire and lets shit fall on top of him. Knowing that he can heal, but he's terrified of, like, his girlfriend being not letting him go try and do this weird experiment to cure the cancer and stuff. Like, he's terrified of being honest with her because she'll leave him, but then he'll go fucking just take a bunch of bullets to the face or whatever, you know? Like, that's kind of the... I love that movie, you guys. I watched it. I watched it on drugs the first time I went and saw it, and I made like an emotional connection to it. It's on my phone. I watch it all the time.
I've watched it 3 or 4 times. Yeah. Honestly,
I've seen it the once.
Yeah, just once.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for it.
It's the only thing Rob Liefeld did for comic books. He was the guy who created him. Terrible dude, the worst illustrator ever. But that
sounds like Deadpool.
I've been reading Deadpool since like day one, and I don't know. I've been waiting for this for a while now, and they did a good job with it.
I mean, I love me some Ryan Reynolds.
I love Ryan Reynolds. God, you guys, I love Ryan Reynolds. I do. I've been so sad for him, big time.
Why are you sad for him? What happened?
I've been sad because he kind of like fell off the radar there for a little bit. He was doing a lot of really dumb movies like the Amityville Horror.
How dare you?
Amityville Horror.
Did you like the Amityville Horror?
I enjoyed it.
I like him a lot.
Did you watch the movie The Nines? Did you see that one? It was a lower budget where he's like in a.
Yes.
He's in like a.
Yeah.
Fake reality or whatever, and he's. It was really heady.
Yeah. I definitely watched that. Yeah.
Or the voices. Did you see the voices?
This is it blending. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is it blending together. It was an interesting movie.
Okay. Yeah, it was interesting, but it wasn't interesting enough. Like I didn't see it. None of it caught me off guard, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let's be clear, guys. He's an actor, and he's gonna do whatever somebody gives him money to do.
When you're
an attractive guy, they often force you to be dumb jock bro.
Yeah.
Whether or not you are into doing that or not. You know what I mean? Like, if he walked into a place and they were just like, you're the guy who's going to be holding this keg. And he's like, okay. And then he was holding the keg in one thing, and then all of a sudden they're like, he looks good next to a keg. Let's put him next to this thing. And then one thing leads to another, and that's all the crazy shit that he's doing.
Yeah
because he was like Van Wilder, wasn't he?
He was Van Wilder.
Yeah. That was when he was young, and he did... Just Friends, which was good, but it was also bad.
Oh, is that the one where he's in a fat suit?
Yeah. It's bad because like he's in a fat suit, but it's not that Gwyneth Paltrow one or anything with Jack Black.
Which was like the proposal.
Everybody was upset about that one.
That movie was like, just looking back.
Yeah, the Farrelly brothers really lost it like right after, I'm going to say, Me, Myself, and Irene. I don't know. I think that was the last.
That was kind of fucking weird too.
It was weird, but I guess Jim Carrey just has that pull to where I can just watch him
so
be insane.
Yeah, so he's got the suspension of disbelief of a person who's off his rocker. Yeah.
But back to like the whole Ryan Reynolds thing. Like, yeah, I mean, I think he's gonna do what he has to do, and then it's character building for him because he did still work. I mean, he's in lots of things that lots of different types of people saw. And then the fact that now he's like an even bigger name because he's not going to stop acting.
Well,
certainly not now. I mean, he's in his 40s now, right?
Right.
And he's just got like this humongous Marvel movie. That's a ticket for some good stuff.
And then
in the future.
Then you look at like other actors like Matthew McConaughey. He was in like Wedding Planner.
Yeah, he had a good dip. And then Resurgence.
Yeah.
And that was it, Professor.
He just had to slow down. That was it, because it just was like, love is a quantifiable thing. Y'all. Like, he just had to, like, slow the fuck down, because he was really fast in the beginning. And now he just puts 4 seconds between each word that comes out of his face, and we're all like, this is acting.
I was like, guys, I just figured out what acting is.
That's all he's going to do at UT. He's just going to be like, just make everybody wait to hear what you have to say.
Oh, so funny.
Semester over. Everybody.
Everybody go home.
Yeah.
No syllabus.
He's just reading a book to them. Like,
he's reading a Dr. Seuss book, and it takes him all semester to get to the end.
It's a course in Asmar.
It's like, can you handle this? Because this is what your adult life is actually like. How much patience do you have to deal with bullshit? If you don't have any, you're going to fail in life.
Oh my God, that's a great course to take to prepare people
just bullshit,
for shit.
Not
really, obviously. Like, here's a course for standing in line because that's all you're going to do.
Here's a course for filling out paperwork no one will ever read.
Yeah.
Here's a course for untying knots.
Wendell, just stop being
so excited.
There's a lock picking like society at UT, and it's from what we could glean, because there was a bunch of things. It seems as if it's sort of the door for CIA agents. You know, it's like if you join that at when you go to UT, the CIA checks you out. And then it's like, we'll take this one and we'll take that one.
Wish I'd known that. I just have books at my house and I...
You have a lockpick set. We talked about that last time, right?
I may or may not.
Okay, yeah, no.
Plausible deniability.
I definitely have a book on it.
Hey, that... Okay, little bit of a digression, but you're the only person I would ever think to ask this question of. Are you familiar with that that defusing a bomb game online where it takes seven people to
play
it?
Yeah, my friends will get drunk and play it. Okay. They will, yeah.
Have you guys heard of this?
No.
There's this like online game where you're given like a bomb. It has like there are so many different like parts of the thing that you have to defuse in a very specific order that what you do is there's one guy who's actually playing it and then there's like six people that are reading a manual about the bomb that have to tell you specific cues and things and everything has to happen down to like the second. So like this guy spins a bomb around and he's like, all right, there's this buzzer that's like this in this position and somebody reads it and they're like, all right, move it one over, one to the right, two down. And he's like, all right. And then there's another guy ready to give him the instructions for the next piece. And you just have to sit there and explain this bomb that nobody can look at. And they have to.
Yeah.
It seems like some shit Patrick would fucking love. I just haven't played it.
Yeah.
Because
it costs money. And
I watched a guy do it. And it was the most intense shit I've ever. Like, I was not invested in this video at all.
This a video?
It's a video game.
Thing where you're like watching this? Or are you reading a manual?
Okay. So one guy's actually defusing the bomb and like a certain amount of people don't get to see it. They're just listening to him and they're reading a
manual.
These
are players.
The other players have like a digital manual. I guess you can't print it out because it changes.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're just using voice communication to talk with this person who may be halfway across the world.
So one person's in charge of every issue that has to do with this one part of this bomb. And you know, like there's sections on both sides and it's like one guy is just in charge of these kind of puzzles, and then one guy's in charge of these kind of things. But you have to keep this like constant communication where like you tell this one person to do something, you need to tell somebody else to have something else ready when that person's done. It's really intense looking, but it's like untying a knot times a million. And I think about it sometimes. You just got to have a really good team. That's sort of the thing.
It's funny how invested in something you can become too that's so simple and has no real world consequence.
Right.
But it's just you get into that game mode and you're like, I have to succeed. I have to not let someone
down. It depends on the way you know your brain works to wind down, because like I personally like manual labor. Like if I can be doing something with my hands, you know, then that's when my brain can finally relax. But like, you know, when people, like for instance, when I watch TV, I'm not relaxed. I'm watching TV with an idea, not like behind bars, but I'm like, but I'm like constantly analyzing plot structure and like thinking about stuff. And because it's like the world that I'm in for my job, I'm always like, well, this is happening. Why can't I be doing this? And what's going on with that? And this is the kind of thing. And it's like, I get all anxious about it.
Like, you know, something can't happen because something already happened. It's like,
yeah.
I don't know. I do the same thing. I hate it because, like, I'll just know that something, like, people are scared that something bad's going to happen. I'm like, it can't because this person already said that thing. You know, like it literally, die because.
Or, like, when people are like, I bet they killed the main character. And I'm like, they didn't kill the main character.
There's no way they could have.
There's a show that has 8 episodes left in the season. They're not going to kill the main character.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. That main character might disappear.
Yeah.
Be kidnapped or whatever. But he's not dead. She'll just get over it.
So you know how they didn't show him actually die? That's because he's not dead. You know, whenever the show shows somebody die, they die in front of you. So just shut up. You
That's
know,
like when somebody comes back to life, I'm kind of like, meh, all right.
Yeah. You had to.
In a TV show.
Yeah, in a TV show.
Normally in life, these
I've never actually seen a person come back to life. I mean, I suppose it could happen,
see,
you know?
Game of Thrones breaks that. Like that's why I think I got hooked into Game of Thrones, because I never see that shit coming most of the time. Like, I've got the pattern down now, I think.
I think I just got disappointed.
That actually is why I like that show. That show
just got disappointed
because, it does break the rules.
Yeah,
Like, it doesn't matter if this is the most famous person that's on the show. Actually, you know what? No. The most famous person on the show has never died. Because the most famous person from the very beginning was Tyrion. Tyrion Lannister. Yeah. Because it's that actor was the only one who's, and I forget his name, but...
Peter Dinklage.
Great, yes. He is the only one that was previous to the show at all famous. Oh, like, yeah. Like, people knew who he was. He was in stuff. He sort of had a thing going on. All the rest of the people... Yeah, he was in it for, like, spoiler to everyone, very little. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but, like, most everybody... Like, right now, everybody's famous because they're in it.
Right.
So, it's like if you watch a show with a famous person in it, you have this... There's, like, this sort of, like, well, that guy's not going to get fired because, you know, they'd lose all their money because the famous guy's in it.
And Sean Bean dies in everything.
That's his game. That's how he does it. When he signs a contract, he's like, make sure I die.
He went to jail on that one.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody knows jail is death.
So. Fahrenheit 450, Equilibrium.
I'm still a sucker for, like, anxiety-driven watching. I will, like, catch myself, like, having fists as tight as I can when I'm watching something. I'm like, what am I, why am I, what, no, stop, relax.
No, but that's it's why you like horror, because it takes you out of yourself.
Yeah.
It, like, removes you from the world that is inside your head or the world that you live in and forces you to be in the space of the scary movie. Yeah, that's why I like scary movies, too, because they take me out of, I cannot be thinking about all the crap that I need to worry about. I'm only thinking about this one thing. But if I watch, you know, if I watch a comedy, I'm analyzing that comedy.
Yeah.
And if I watch a drama, especially a series, I'm analyzing the series. You know, so it's tough.
What's your favorite horror movie, Patrick?
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a tough question.
What's your favorite horror movie ending? Let me put it back.
Oh, wow, that seems less.
You know what, actually, I mean, one of my, Cabin in the Woods is a great ending.
Yeah. I do like that movie.
Yeah.
Sleepaway Camp.
Which it's comedy horror, though. Is the one
horror,
I
was
though.
Thinking.
It is. I like a whole bunch of different movies for different reasons. Like, why do I like, you know, Friday the 13th Part 3? It's like, oh, because he actually gets, that's where he gets his mask for the first time.
Yeah,
it's a terrible movie. It's like a 3D movie.
It's a burlap sack before
that. Yeah, and so, like, he actually gets, you know, the hockey mask then. It's just like, so there's a lot of, my favorite overall horror movie you've probably never seen. It's called Brain Scan. It stars the kid who was in Terminator 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Eddie Furlong?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's about a...
I'm not, Eddie
it's about a video game. It's when CD-ROM was first coming out. And he and his friend order a video game. And it comes and makes him kill people. Mm-hmm. But it has this really cool character who kind of is like a game master of sorts. And it's really good. Some good. The music was done by, oh my goodness. I'm not sure if it's actually the guy, but he was a funk musician. And it's like just
George
like
Clinton?
I think it was. Like,
really?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and there's a lot of cool, just like there's some nice little first person action shots in there and stuff. And you guys have never seen it.
Have you ever seen Sleepaway Camp?
I'm sure I have, because there was at least two of them, right?
Yeah. And at the end, you find out she was a boy the whole time.
It doesn't seem so scary.
No, the face she's making in the reveal of it is, like, the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. That movie's dumb as shit up to that point, but then the final shot of it is just the scariest thing I've ever seen, still to this day.
You're not talking about Crying Game? Is that not?
There's another horror movie where... The main character was a woman, was played by a man. They remade it recently, and I don't remember. Oh my goodness! For some reason, I'm thinking it's a Christmas movie too. This is a thing I've seen so many movies at this point. It's ridiculous. At one point in my life, I went, "Do I actually want to make movies? Or just enjoy watching movies? Maybe I just enjoy watching movies."
Wait,
and that's it.
You said that the film was originally the protagonist was a female or a male?
The antagonist was, I think it was supposed to be, the audience perceived it as a woman, but it was actually a man playing it the entire time.
Oh.
And then when they did the reboot, I think they redid it again. No.
The reveal of
I don't remember that at all.
Actually being a man is just, I don't super, even, it's the creepiest shot, and it freezes on this, and she just kind of like, she looks like Bat Boy. You guys remember Bat Boy from like Weekly World News?
Every year it comes back out.
Because like the whole thing kind of pans out. It's the scariest thing, and it freezes on her face. And
luckily, her face.
I don't know. I recently revisited this movie, and that's why I was asking, because it's the most startling ending, because that movie is very just dumb as far as like 80s like camp horror goes.
Yeah, it's a slasher.
And then it's just like that happened, and it freezes on it, and it makes you look like her face is so scary. I don't know. It fucked me up recently.
Maybe being a man was just the worst thing they could imagine a person could be. They're like, but what do we do at the end? Well, what's the worst thing that a woman could ever be?
A man. Yeah, that's true. Let's make that the ending.
That reminded me of the Prodigy video.
Smack My Bitch Up?
Yeah, that was...
Hardcore Henry? Have you seen Hardcore Henry?
No.
It's the best sequel to Smack My Bitch Up I've ever seen in my life. it's all first person the whole time, and you never really get to see... You get to see Henry for a second, but it doesn't really matter. He looks like Sylvester Stallone. And but I remember staying up super late, really late, to watch the Smack My Bitch Up video, just because like they would put a... Like, Kurt Loder would come up and be like, hey, guys, I don't know, you know, if you really want to do it. He would just warn you, like, very, very extensively to just maybe you don't want to see this. And then you just get to watch this whole
thing. Ladies and gentlemen, be very careful.
And then she looks in the mirror and I was like, boom!
Mind blown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Smack My Bitch Up video?
No.
Oh, but
I haven't. But I just...
Spoiler.
My bad.
I didn't know that I hadn't ever... I didn't even know this, but I had not seen Friday the 13th until, like, last week. The first one.
Yeah.
I guess any of them. I thought that I had seen it.
Did you watch Halloween?
Maybe. I think I just got it confused with, like, a Nightmare on Elm Street. Fun! I understand. They're all different movies. Okay.
No. I was going to say, I don't think I've seen any of them.
Like, oh, goodness.
I don't think I've seen any of them. I don't think I've seen any of the Friday the 13th. I don't think I've seen any of the...
We should have like a horror...
None of the Nightmare on Elm Street, though. I did watch I believe it was a 6-hour documentary of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Six?
Yeah, I didn't watch the first 2 hours. I just I walked in after a rehearsal and my husband was watching it, and you know, when he's watching something, I don't like try to make him stop. I'm not like, well, I'm here now, let's watch what I want. Like, I was just like, okay, this is on. And I sat down and I was like, oh, okay. Oh, and I was like, oh, this is a documentary about a movie I've never seen. And then I just watched it for a while, and then I just sort of let it go, and then 2 hours passed, and I was like looking, and I go, hey, this movie doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. When did it start? And he's like, hold on. And he pauses it, and it's like, you know, maybe halfway through, but there's still like 3 more hours. I'm like, what the fuck?
On just the first one, making the first Nightmare on Elm Street.
No, it's on everyone.
The entire series.
It's on the whole series. It's an incredible story. It goes through everything. Yeah, okay. I mean,
it really is an incredible story. That any of those...
It didn't matter that I hadn't seen it actually to make it interesting, because it was about, like, you know, how the story was so unusual, and that they, you know, where it came from, and then, you know, like, how the critical acclaim, and like, and then the guy who plays Freddy Krueger saying like how weird it was to have little kids with dolls, because it was like the character was a child molester, so it was really horrifying for them to like him. And then it was just a whole bunch of weird wackiness. It's a good... I mean, if you've seen it and you're interested in that stuff, it tells you everything. I mean, you learn about, you know, which roadie was the best one to give head, you know.
There's one that's about... There's one that's where Freddy attacks people making...
Yeah, the new Nightmare.
Yeah.
And one of them is one of the later ones.
Yeah,
it's one of the later ones.
There's one about, like, being a closet homosexual and kind of, like...
Yeah, there's two, I think.
And you get killed for being closeted? Because you should just be yourself?
No, yeah.
And that's the lesson?
The main character is kind of struggling with it.
And the Care Bears come
out. I think
Freddy
just rips
it out of
him. Yeah. So...
I don't know. I just watched I just watched that one on Netflix, Hush, about the girl who's deaf and gets attacked.
It's in my list, but I haven't watched it.
It's very good. I've enjoyed it a lot. I would say, I believe the person who plays the bad guy, I believe I recognize him from some other movie. So it kind of ruined it for me a little bit because I saw him and was immediately like, had that vibe of who that character was in my brain and was like, oh, I've ruined it for myself now by knowing.
I finally saw the trailer for Lights Out.
Is that what it's
That's
called?
That's what you had mentioned to me. Yeah, and I'm super on board.
That looks creepy. Yeah, yeah.
That one's just like a ghost or like a thing that can monster. only exist in
shadow.
The darkness. Yeah.
Oh, darkness. That's right. My bad. Yeah,
shadow. Yeah.
I'm super excited to go see that. It looks creepy as shit.
That was one of like when I had this strange fear when I was a kid where like I would if I was changing clothes I had this stupid thought that when I put the shirt over my head, it would somehow change the world around me. And like, that was the time period that monsters could come out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would, like, just rip it off as fast as I could. And then there was something that, another thing that caused me as a child to believe, like, oh, well, monsters live in closets because they're dark and they are under beds. I think it was that,
Everyone told you that.
Well, there was that movie.
Small Monsters?
Yeah, Little Monsters.
With Howie Mandel.
That's what caused. Yeah.
That's what caused his thought was like, oh, if they can come out of shadows, and there was like, there's always a shadow under your feet. And that means a monster could always get you. Like,
oh,
man, you just, my god!
Yeah, it's just like, you can't win.
I couldn't have my back to darkness. Like, if I left a room, I would leave the light on until, like I would have to face the room
right.
And then back up into a lit room. You know what I mean? Like, I could cut that light off, but everything behind me needed to be lit.
So my parents' house is an old Victorian house, like 1900s, 1890s, whatever. And my room wasn't actually a room when we moved in. We, like, you know, put up a door and everything. But it had the only door to the attic.
Shit.
Yeah, so my closet was like you went upstairs and then had to climb a ladder, and then there was so whenever I needed to get clothes in the morning or anything, I had to go into this closet and like pick my clothes as I was like trying to stare at the ceiling because, of course, monsters can't get you when you're staring at them. It's the worst. So then right below that was another door because originally that was the servant's way to the kitchen or whatever.
Your servant?
Yes, my servant. And so there's kind of some shoddy craftsmanship there. And so like when you would go down the stairs, there was a landing and this small door, like it's just an odd sized door. And our computer room was right at the base of the stairs and you could look up. So I was playing like horror video games. Alone in the Dark was one of like the first horror games I really played, which is super low polygon. There's maybe like 12 polygons in the whole thing. And so I'm playing this game, and I'd look up, and I had to pass by that small door to go to my room and then hide in my bed from the attic. And as you would come up the stairs every now and then, the door would just pop, and I would just, like, I'd just run past and slam my door and hide the best I could. So I'm so scared still to this day of, like, closets freak me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's the boogeyman. Like, I love the Ghostbusters cartoon, the boogeyman in that. I don't know if you've ever seen it. He's like this half goat, half human thing, kind of punk rockish. Love
like
it.
The original?
Like the Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Which I own all on DVD if you want to borrow it.
I kind of do.
Yeah.
I kind of do, because they fought Cthulhu. At one point,
it's a pretty amazing series, yeah. Especially considering they only had 10 songs they reused for all 800 episodes, yeah. Or however many were made.
I had no idea why Egon was blonde for some reason.
That's a weird thing. They like
the voice.
So
yeah.
They changed the voice actor on Venkman.
On Venkman, who he did Garfield.
Right, but the reason they changed it was Bill Murray complained it didn't sound enough like him.
Yeah.
But some of the changes they made were apparently because of likeness rights. Which is why I made him blonde. But
because there was a Hanna-Barbera show called The Ghostbusters, too, and that's why they had to call themselves the real... They were the real Ghostbusters.
They were the first Ghostbusters, right. Okay, the Ghostbusters actually had to license the name Ghostbusters, and if you ever watch like behind the scenes on the original Ghostbusters film, they actually use a couple of different names, like Ghost Blasters and things like that, because they didn't have the rights yet.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
It is so funny to think about those things that, like, now they're like, that's how they are forever. But when they were creating them, they were like, I don't know what we'll call this.
Yeah.
Just call it this thing for right now. Or entire people that have done entire movies just talking to a tennis ball.
That's true.
Yeah, like, making Who Framed Roger Rabbit like almost killed Bob Hoskins. Like, he was just like, I'm never gonna do this shit again. Right. And then he went and did the Mario Brothers movie. And we almost just didn't get any more movies from Bob Hoskins right. after that. He was, like, fuck the 90s. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know, but he yeah. tried. He did some stuff. You know, he did
he went
Unleashed.
Back to the theater.
Poor guy. It blew my mind when I found out he was British. I remember, like, I was like, oh, boy. He was Eddie Valiant my entire life growing up, you know?
Right.
Or Mario. And Luigi Mario with Mario Brothers.
Okay. Oh, that's so funny. I know exactly what you're talking about, but for some reason in my brain... I immediately went to, all of a sudden in my face, in the face in my head was Bruno Kirby. And then I was like, he's not British. Oh, wait, no, we're talking about Bob Hoskins.
I don't know who that is. I'm terrible with names.
Bruno Kirby, the reference that I have for him is that he's in When Harry Met Sally, and he's Harry's friend, and they go on the date when he first meets Sally.
Yeah, no, I know that one.
Sorry. He was in a lot of 80s movies. If you looked him up, you'd be like, I've seen him 4,000 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that.
Also, clearly, he has a similar look to Bob Hoskins. So, similar, not at all. I'm sure they're very different. But,
I think it's
different. Yeah, he's going to find that for us for sure.
Hey!
He's playing Pokemon.
Pokemon. I am playing Pokemon.
I was like, don't get involved with the Pokemon.
He's the godfather and stuff.
Do you say Pokemon or do you say Pokemon? Which one are you?
Pokemon? Who says Pokemon?
Japanese.
Well, I'm not Japanese. I also don't even play the game, so I say Pokemon.
One Japanese person. Yeah. And talk to them. Well, like, if I met a Japanese person, I'd be like, so Pokemon, right? We're going to talk about Pokemon now. Like,
Pokemonster, I think, is where it came from, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, all together. But, I mean, do they pronounce their O's the same way we do?
Oh, my God.
No, I mean, like Germans don't. Like vowel inflection is different. Language to language. I didn't mean like
Did
they know how to make O sounds. I wasn't like, have they figured out how to make their mouths?
They have
three
sounds
O.
We don't.
Yeah, yeah, like we're ahead of the game.
Wendell's not like being super racist. He's just like legitimately asking.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying like they
my older brother has lived there for 15 years.
Japan?
Yeah, yeah.
I was just about to ask actually if you were an only child. So,
no, yeah, I've got a younger and an older. I'm the middle.
Oh, okay.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're only an hour in. We finally get it.
I get you now.
Middle child syndrome.
You're a middle child.
Yeah.
You are 100%. The middle child.
100%.
Oh my God, this is going to change the dynamic of our relationship so intensely. Wow.
Do you not know about the middle child?
Yes.
Okay, you just looked at me in a weird fashion. I wasn't sure if you didn't understand the concept or didn't understand me.
Mm-mm. No, Wendell's a middle child too.
Kind of.
Kind of.
Well,
there's
an odd number in the front and the back.
I was like, no, you're the middle child.
Like, if we're talking about the kids my mom and my dad had, I'm the first one. But my dad, I have half brothers and sisters from, you know, my dad's first marriage. So, yeah, I'm dead center in taking into account them. But
well, you spent most of your life knowing most of them, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, they're my brothers and sisters. I don't ever, like, even throw like half or step or whatever into
it. Well, it's like, because I always say that, like, technically there's only me and my sister, but my cousin Georgia was raised with us so often that my sister, sister has taken on middle child stuff because Georgia was always there getting the youngest child attention and you know, craziness. And I was the older child, as I am. Mm-hmm. So she's very middle child in her way, even though technically she's the youngest, but really she's not. She's middle child.
Being the middle child is kind of great because I'm 4 years apart from both brothers. Mm. So we didn't have to, none of us went to high school together. Mm. But like in junior high, I had all his cool high school friends as my friends. And then I got close to my little brother because he was in high school and I was in college and, you know, he had some of my friends, his friends. So that worked out for me, but like my two brothers aren't super close because, you know, he went off to college while he was, you know, becoming a person really. And then, you know, and then moved to Japan and he's kind of been there for, 15 years. So, yeah.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
What's he doing in Japan?
He's in like IT now. So
in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, he should come
so
back.
Good.
I don't think he's
going to say he is
gonna
paid
as much as he
IT
should
guy.
Be, but. Well, there's a lot of problems with Japan when it comes to being a foreigner. So,
is he really tall?
He is. Yeah. He's 6-something, I think.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah.
And when he first went over there, too, he had a huge beard and long hair. So he definitely stood out.
Just came out. Yeah, just came over like Neanderthal, rocking it.
What I do enjoy is his wife is Japanese, and when they come back to the States or when we visit them, she will forget words in Japanese, and he'll have to like tell her the words sometimes. That cracks me up. He's done some sort of testing to like show that he's fluent in both writing and spoken language and all sorts of stuff. Because he was doing teaching for a while. I was teaching English.
I was like, does she just speak English so often now that she's just dropping her Japanese?
No. I mean, she did. She went to college and her major was in English. She just doesn't like to speak it around us for some reason. So, but yeah, I really want my niece to come back because, like I said, there's some issues with, you know, being foreign and living in the country as far as teasing and bullying and stuff goes and laws.
Oh, so the poor little daughter is not having a great time.
Well, she's all right now, but I mean, like, my brother can't own land there ever, and promotions aren't necessarily always the best for foreigners and stuff, and it'd probably best if they just came back to the States, in my opinion, John, if you're listening to this.
There are a lot of tech jobs here in Austin.
There are.
I'm just saying, it's a really nice place. Everyone's very progressive.
So,
you and your Japanese wife will be welcomed right in.
Absolutely.
So many fun people.
Yeah, and then we won't have to wait a couple of years to see them, because it's, you know, expensive. I don't know if you guys know that. It is expensive to go to Japan.
I didn't know that, but I would have assumed.
Yeah.
I would have assumed.
That's the only thing keeping me. Getting there. Don't you worry. I don't know. Yeah, like, that was always a place I wanted to go.
Oh, it's definitely. Yeah, go if you can. It's great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so funny. Please do go wherever you can, because white men can go wherever they need to. I feel like you do it for right now, because eventually you won't be able to.
Not everywhere.
I'm just saying.
I heard, but
somewhere.
Everybody's gonna think I'm trying to bang their daughter or their wife or their sister. That was the
Wendell,
attitude.
You
to be
are.
Fair, yeah,
I constantly am. Right. But I don't need everybody treat me like that off the cuff. Okay, all right. You can give me the benefit of the doubt. You know,
there's a whole swath. There's a whole area of the world that I just, you know, it's inadvisable for me to visit.
Oh yeah,
you know that kind of thing.
Because they're in war currently.
Well, you know, not only wars, but also like, you know, my lady parts are a hot commodity.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, they either want to sell it or kill me for it.
Yeah.
Or both.
Yeah, both.
Kill you, then sell it.
It's
know?
Pretty easy to do it that way.
Yeah, I suppose. You know, I'm just saying. I
I mean, I'm never going to go
to Australia.
Go visit
wherever you're going to go.
That entire continent is not for me. I'm never going
to
go.
Oh, I'd like to go.
Stay near the water. Yeah, just don't go inland.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get a bunch of acid and then take the plane, because I feel like that'd be super fun.
That'd be the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be the only way to do it.
I'm just not tough enough for Australia, I think. I'm good with, like, I don't know, Holland. I'll go to Holland.
Europe. Europe.
Badass.
Holland is nice.
Yeah, no.
Especially since they, like, had the union and now they don't have their union or whatever. Like, it's fine. I'll go visit.
I grew up in Germany for 6 years. So I got to do a bunch of that. That was amazing.
Really? How old?
So, I was, pre-K to third grade, I think.
Did you retain any of the Deutsch you learned?
Not really.
Yeah.
I can like maybe say blue and left and right.
Very helpful words.
Yeah. Is it blau?
Yeah.
It's blau. Yeah. Okay.
Links.
Rex. Links. Rex. Yeah.
But you were on a army base, yeah?
Air Force. Yeah.
Air Force base.
Yeah. Dad's Air Force. He retired 24 years. It's an interesting story. Like, I love getting older and like hearing more of my parents and family members' lives.
Yeah.
And just like how he was enlisted and then left for a while. And then I think he used his GI Bill to go to college and then ended up becoming an officer and doing that for a while. Which is the military was a greatly appreciated thing for my brothers and I, because my dad was able to retire from that and still, you know, and that was able to help us with education and things. So, but it could be tough.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Where in Germany?
We did Ramstein and Wiesbaden. So, Ramstein was during the Gulf War. number one.
Ooh.
My dad was underground for like 6 months during that war.
Interesting.
In a nice little bomb shelter thing. I think it was war planning. I don't really know.
You know, when you were talking about the that video game with the bomb earlier, like, guys, they're outsourcing the army. That's what it is.
Yeah. They're actually
it's
doing that.
It's legitimately
a
real place, and there's a guy, and you're helping him because he can't look up the he can't read the shit. Yeah. He's in the middle of a dark.
That's just darn it, was that book? Where the video game they're playing is real life. They're actually
Ender's Game.
Ender's Game, yeah.
Yeah, or the it's like or a version Last of Starfighter. Yeah, yeah. You know, like that's kind of a that's
Last Star. Yeah, but that was more of a they brought him on life. Board. Yeah.
I bet you you could read any number of sci-fi novels at this point that would just describe today. It'd be like, and then they put on their headsets and spoke to one another.
Yeah, Philip K. Dick. That guy knew exactly where we were going. I don't know if you guys.
He gets it. Traveling. He totally gets
time
it.
Trap.
That's why he killed
time
himself.
Traveling. Ooh, here we go. I was like, let's wrap it up with this one. Let's talk about time traveling. If you could do anything, like, just quickly around the table, if you do anything, like, with time travel, like, what would be your first thing that you would go do? Like, are you a kill Hitler type? Are you a, like, I want to see Jesus type? What if you could travel anywhere? Would you go to your own future and see like how you end, or you know, like if you could time travel, what would you do?
I mean, here's the issue: is if I build a time machine, it's just gonna land me in space somewhere where Earth
unless
isn't
you can,
anymore.
Unless you measure where the Earth will be,
it's impossible. Because you have no.
You know where it was, though. You could go back in time.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's not impossible to know where it was.
No, exact location.
Yeah, there's no point of reference. Like, there's no global point of reference. If
well, you know that the Earth rotates in a certain like pattern.
But relative to what, though? So
the sun? Because
no. So we're moving around something else. Yeah. We're moving around something else. All that thing could be technically moving somewhere else too.
Okay, but
all right. So say time travel. Say it exists. Are you interested in affecting history? Or are you interested in your own life or what?
Yeah, you could have a TARDIS. Let's say you have a TARDIS.
Let's say I have a magical thing that just works.
Right.
Yeah, I'm...
He's like, I've seen Doctor Who. That doesn't always work.
I'm probably a future guy. Go to the future.
You go to the future.
Yeah,
okay.
I go to the future. Because you can't go to the past.
I can.
I mean, like, I would really enjoy, you know, hearing someone's cell phone go off as Jesus was on the mound. You know, just like... and then the TARDIS noise.
Shit, sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Continue. Continue your sermon, yeah. Sir.
Sorry.
It becomes one of the miracle stories. And then the jingle from the heavens.
Yeah.
From the white man in khakis. Standing at the very back, confusing everyone.
In
smelling
khakis.
Amazing.
He smelled so weird.
Good point, yeah.
What was wrong with him? It was as if he was like hanging out in the river. Get out of there.
See, I'd just be Biff in Back to the Future 2. I'd just be the asshole that just went and bet on everything and just made money from time travel. I'd go back to like 1990s maybe 1980s and invest in Google and Apple and all that shit and fucking every World Series. I'd rake all the money in, you know?
No, I was just going to say, well, technically Biff didn't. It doesn't matter.
Are you going to talk about how it was technically a different universe that he went to? And
no,
because it's
doesn't
technically.
I mean,
technically, it's today is what it is.
I don't
right
know because that was a fixed point universe, right? Because like everything happened, it changed the future that he came from.
I think in number two, I'm gonna have to go back and watch again.
Well,
like
what's
two,
the question? Because I feel confident I know a lot about this movie.
If the time travel created a different universe when he changed things, or if it changed the universe that he came, like if it changed the future that he came from. So like when he went back and his brothers and sisters are disappearing. I think that everything he was doing was affecting the same reality that he.
I mean,
came
I like that. It's just real hard to write around.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, totally.
Well, he does go back to 1985, and it is affected by the stuff that he did.
But is it his reality? So, if there's an infinite number of universes, then there's literally, one that exists that's slightly different than what you have now, and then there's, of course, there's one that's all made of Jell-O because it's infinite.
So you would think that, well, I don't know. they normally establish what kind of time travel it is on some level, though. You know, by like stating out loud that like time is a fixed point, because time is kind of a fixed point. Like they constantly talk about how like shit, like he can't learn any too much about his own future or too much about his own past or whatever. I assume because that, as far as Doc Brown understands, that time is fairly linear. But I mean, you're right. He could they could be creating different things too. I try to understand time travel movies.
One of my friends is in the Back to the Future, and I could have sworn he tried to explain that to me one day, and I was just like, sure.
I would go into the past to see my grandparents, to see like their world, because my grandfather was the head of homicide for Boston police in the 60s.
Jesus, what a
And that was an
full.
Insane place. Yes.
You're like, who are you, my grandchild from the future? Get the fuck out of here, I'm busy.
Yeah, arrest
that lady.
I would not go talk to him. I would just go try to witness what was going on and try to see what the world was like. Because, I mean, it was a crazy little place. And to think that that's where most of my family came from is like, okay, crazy.
That is a hell of a city to be that guy in. You know what I mean? That is a hell of a time period to be that guy in that city.
Yeah, so I'd love to see what that's even about.
Everything I know.
And then help that to inform how much of a badass I'm allowed to be when I come back and be like, yeah, well, I'm a descendant of a badass.
Smoking.
I start smoking again. They're like, what are you going to do? You're going to kill yourself. I'm a time machine, goddammit.
Did you say where?
No.
She got caught in the Back to the Future paradox.
Yeah. No, I was thinking about, because you're talking about times and the infinite universes, and there was this movie that came out a few years ago called Coherence, where they kind of talk about that, and it's Xander from Buffy.
What's his name? I've never seen him in anything else.
Is it the
else?
Dinner party like one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's a really one of the lines in that film that I like. Oh wait, I don't want to tell you. I won't tell you guys because I don't want to ruin it for you if you ever see it.
But you enjoy it.
I mean, I really liked the concept. The execution was okay, but I mean, I think they did pretty well. On a scale from 1 to 10, I'd give that movie like a 7. Not great. Mm-hmm. But I mean, again, the idea is really interesting. I like to play with it.
Interesting.
It would be a great movie to show someone, like, hey, do you want to do a low budget sci-fi movie? Here's a great way to do that.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. It's a good example of, like, this is a movie probably costs $100,000.
And then to your question, I think I would want to go back to maybe like, probably like 1910, maybe, or like the turn of the 20th century, and just explore Egypt at that time when a large portion of those things are being discovered. But, I mean...
Ooh. And
but,
antibiotics.
Yeah, and curses.
But, malaria. Though, there would have to be some type of time travel magic for me to be able to go over there, being a woman of color.
I don't think you'd have enough color.
Depends
on the region, right?
Exactly. Like, regionally going over there, not...
Yeah.
You know, it would just be... there would have to... Yeah, again,
you'd have to give yourself
a
British accent and walk in with, like, really high boots, and then they would all just give you all the... And you're like, I work at the Smithsonian, and then they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
I'm the curator of the library. They always are.
Take what you want.
That seems fine. Come right in. I just watched this movie called Frequently Asked Questions about Time Travel, and I would give it like a... What are we giving
Chris
it?
Chris O'Dowd?
What are we doing it on a scale of 10? I would give it like maybe like a 6. I mean, I'll say 7. Because I enjoyed it. It was a romp. But at the same time, I enjoyed the path that it went. I enjoyed how it moved around, how all the characters interacted, and they end up like bumping into themselves a bunch, which is really entertaining.
Right.
And I was like, time travel. There's another crazy movie though, and it kills me.
Is it
me.
The Spanish or French one? I can't remember.
Oh, God.
There's a foreign.
I'm trying to think of what it is. There's this other movie about time travel where these guys make this time machine in their garage.
Prime.
Yes.
It's Prime, I think.
And then their bodies get weird.
I don't. In the garage.
They're in the garage, and it's in like a. They get inside this like little cardboard box, right? And then they move. They try to like. They don't. They can't travel that far, or something like that. It's a great movie. Yeah. I mean, it's weird as crap, and it's one of those where I'm like, yeah, you can make this in your garage.
I know you said it was about time travel, but I still thought about Be Kind Rewind.
You know what? That's a fun movie.
It is a fun movie. Just yeah.
Because is it the cardboard?
Well, I think the cardboard is what reminded me of it, and like how like extravagant like the concept is like of time travel, but like you can only move like so much, like you can only move like 5 minutes in the future or something like that.
And
so, like Be Kind Rewind, like they did all of like they redid all of these movies, but like super low budget, and they're a little bit different. I don't know, I just thought about that.
Am I the only one that has a reoccurring dream that they're a time traveler that can't prove to people they're a time traveler?
It's your reoccurring.
I have a reoccurring dream. I have several reoccurring dreams, but that's one of them. Where like it's impossible for me to prove to you that I time traveled, because anything that I observed now simply got changed by the fact that I observed it and then like tried to go back to explain it.
That's an interesting paradox.
It's terrible.
I've always thought about like what if I'm living in a reality that was changed by time travel? You know, like what if Abraham Lincoln was a terrible was this monster, and somebody went and like fucked with time a little bit?
It's funny because I'm more of a believer in the multiverse situation, where it's like I and in fact when I dream, I actually imagine myself to just be experiencing one of my other lives in that moment.
Okay.
Like when I go and see, because like when you guys have dreams, like you feel them as intensely as some real emotion, like things that you have in your real life. I mean, a lot of my real life, you know, I'm numb to, you know. So sometimes when you're in a dream, you're so pure, it's all in your brain. You feel it more deeply than some of the other things that you have in life. So sometimes I'm like, no, that's just, well, I'm a painter in that one.
I was hoping like the things that changed in your reality were going to be less awesome. It was just going to be like you're going to take a drink of water, and then it just changes into a screwdriver. And you're like,
what the fuck is happening?
Well, see, like, because in my understanding of it, if somebody else changed reality, if somebody else changed reality, then we all are just, that's how we understand that reality. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, no, there's just giant rock triangles sticking out of the ground. Of course there are. Why wouldn't there be? That's it's not somebody fucking with me. Yeah. Like, of course they didn't have a nose. Yeah. Like,
instant change.
That's interesting. Just because I think I am more prone to like the multiverse thing that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just thinking about like the whole Berenstain Bears paradox thing. And then it got me thinking about, do you know,
but tell me what your next, I want to follow your path of your brain.
Well, the next thing being how there are Holocaust deniers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What if then it didn't happen in one of these other universes, and so they're just like, we don't know what you're talking about, that didn't happen here.
One or two people fell into this universe and it did happen, but like in their world it didn't, and they're all like, seriously, they are the people from your dream who are like, no, I went back, everyone's fine, they had a great time, they were like, everyone was drinking together, it was a good, you know, whatever. And
yeah, but
like,
we're stuck in this, yeah, we're stuck in this
weird
space.
And that would be interesting.
The Berenstain Bears thing, Eric told me about it. So
spell it.
I hope I don't butcher it. But yeah, do you remember the Berenstain Bears?
The like, books?
Yeah. The books and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fuck, I guess
how
I
is their name spelled?
Yeah. Or how did you say their name?
I think Berenstain, yeah, like Beren.
Okay. Well, because there are, apparently are like two groups of people who claim that it's Berenstain. That's how I remember it. How you remember it. And then there are other people that say it was Berenstain.
Yeah, it's right? Berenstain in like the way it's pronounced, right?
S-T-E-I-N. Or
the way it's spelled, I mean.
I think it was Berenstain.
Well, but everybody pronounces them different.
But it was a different spelling as well. And so people are like, if you look back on it, I think it's.
It's one of those things that you know in your head, you just know how the Berenstain, how that is spelled, And then you come to find out that there's an A there that you never knew about. And
well,
you're like,
I mean, people just read it out loud to me. I don't know that I read that many of them. I mean,
but I saw
sure
the book
read...
title. You saw the book title.
Yeah, well, because they also had a show and everything, mm-hmm. too.
That's true.
But, yeah, and anyway, it's kind of like that. Like, some people, like, they think that there was, like, some rift or something that some people from this other universe came to this one. And some people, I guess, some people from the other one went to the other one. And so now everyone has... Like, everyone remembers it differently.
It occurs to me that the world that we live in of total sci-fi is, like, we will just accept, if, like, a dragon just appeared in front of me, I'd be like, yeah, all right, makes sense. Like, I would be so unfazed to literally anything that exists.
The top science, two, when you start typing it, the top two things are Berenstain or Berenstein. Yeah. Bears. And the world.
Oh,
and
I
the
mean, I think it was... spelled with the E, but Berenstain Bears is how you pronounce it.
I remember with an E and saying Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We're from that universe, I guess.
Yeah,
that's helpful.
It is spelled with an A instead of an E. It's Berenstain. Like, when you look at it, it's spelled with an A.
Oh, okay.
See? Oh, I see.
Okay.
Oh, You know what's funny is that shouldn't it have been spelled Berenstain?
Right.
Yeah. Like Bearen.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the joke? Isn't everything Bear?
Yeah, R-E is a totally different type of
bear. They're just trying to play it so straight. Yeah. Too straight.
That's what
literally
they
too their straight.
Names. Yeah. They're known for that.
Stan and Jan Berenstain. That's the author's names. That's like they didn't
Bear
Stain
kind of
implies it.
Like. Bear homicide.
I don't know, honey. There's a play on words that was there somewhere.
That's a sketch. I can see it. A Berenstain, all of a sudden, the Berenstain murders.
Oh my god. Oh, I thought you were right saying that it's like the mom and dad from each different universe.
Oh,
and then one of them are murderers and the other one are not. And they meet each other and they're just like, what the fuck are you? Who are we? And just like blood all
it's
over
like
the dad.
It's a super creepy, like Brady Bunch that's
oh,
like bloody bears.
Oh, and then if we did it as like a cold open so it just flashes and there's just blood and like two people dressed the same but obviously different and then it just lights and then the next
I
write it down.
Love
yeah no write
definitely
it
write it down but I was like I love the idea that I have infused in the brain of other comedians the idea that a proper way to begin a show is with flashes of light and
blood. Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what I do.
No,
so.
I was
yeah you're yeah. Yeah, you're a clear influence on us. I was like, speaking of which, we should probably wrap it up.
That makes sense.
Patrick Neese, a great influence on all of us and a good friend. We've enjoyed this chat. I've never gotten so deep into like just sort of like movies and stories and stuff like that. So I like this.
This
is super
podcast.
Fun.
Yeah,
we haven't talked about comedy at all here, have we?
Hey, you know,
no,
we had a good first run.
We're creative.
You know,
we're creative.
The first time we did it.
I'm going to put both pictures up so that it's like we did talk to him, but then I'm a jackass.
Yeah, we got all that artsy fartsy shit out of the way the first time. And it's all time travel and horror movies for this
one. Yeah, this is a fun one. Yeah, exactly.
We had to strip away all the artist stuff.
Pretentious.
This is what we really want to talk about anyway.
100% all the time.
Well, thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
And thanks for the donuts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Those were delicious.
Have it.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Yes But Why podcast.